reflecting a little together on questions that Jesus asked. And this morning we come to a question, another question that he asks, and it's probably the most heart-rending and almost the most shocking question that he asked. Jesus has been betrayed. He has been arrested. He's been scourged. He's been beaten and mocked. And a crown of thorns has been placed on his head. And he has been nailed to the cross. And after speaking words of forgiveness, "Father, forgive them." And after his words of acceptance to the criminal, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," after that there is silence, but also a darkness that covers the land. It's between midday and 3 o'clock. It should be bright, it should be sunny, but it's dark. And then there is a cry. "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani." Words that were taken from Psalm 22, which many of the folks around about would have known, and Jesus himself would have known. "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, to those of us who know our Bibles a little bit, this is a very strange thing to say. It's a shocking question to ask. At funerals, when we're thinking about death and dying, we often sing the words of the 23rd Psalm, another psalm that Jesus would have known. And we sing the words of, "Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" And then what about the Trinity? Right? So we believe that God is three in one. We're used to thinking of God being the Father, God being the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus speaks in John's Gospel about how he and the Father are one. "I am in the Father and he is in me." And yet Jesus here declares, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now there's a mystery here. There are depths in these words that we cannot fully plumb or understand, especially in just 10 minutes. But what the question does do is that it points us to what was happening on that day. And it points us to what was happening on that cross. And it points us to the fact that on the cross, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was taking on himself the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins. And of how he felt forsaken in doing so. He endured the darkness in our place. In Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament, there are verses that have been seen as a prophecy, a foretelling of what Jesus would do and what Jesus was doing on the cross. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus, and by Jesus' wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That is what was happening. And it's seen in the events of that day. It's seen in the darkness that descended. Sun should have been at its brightest. And when the Bible talks of darkness, it's often talking about the judgment of God. Something somber is happening. We live, as we've often reflected on, we live in a broken world and we live broken lives. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus Christ willingly goes to the cross, not forced into it. It's all part of the plan. He willingly dies. He lays down his own life. And he willingly carries our brokenness. He takes on all of our brokenness in ways that we cannot fully comprehend and in ways that we cannot fully understand. But God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in him, that in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. He goes down into the depths, into the darkness, into the deepest depths. Think of the deepest depths you can think of and treble it or make it infinite. Deeper than you can imagine. And in the darkness he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now that is not the end. For Christ would conquer all the darkness. He was the light of the world. And he would show that on Easter morning. But even as he died, he declares, it is finished. So yes, he talks of being forsaken as he bears the sins of the world. But also as he dies, he declares, it is finished. I've done the job. And the curtain is torn from top to bottom in the temple to reveal that it was finished. That he had gone into the darkness so that the way might be open again from us to God. Now, what does all this mean for us? Well, there's a couple of things it might mean for us, or it does mean for us this morning. There's loads of other things we could reflect on, but two will do. The first thing is that this means that Jesus knows what it is to be alone, to be truly alone. Perhaps a question that Jesus has asks here is a question that you have sometimes asked. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? You have felt alone. No one else seems to understand what you're going through, and you're in the depths. And in the depths, you question, is God here? Why have you forsaken me? Now, he hasn't forsaken you. The same psalm that Jesus quotes from here, beginning with, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmist then goes on and he says of God that he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He's not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. So the psalmist feels forsaken, but he's not really forsaken, but he feels alone. Of course, Jesus says he will never leave us or forsake us. But we might feel it. And when we cry out to God in our loneliness, in our despair, from the depths, we can know that Jesus understands how we're feeling, because he's been there and worse. Sometimes people might say to us, oh you cannot understand what I'm going through. You can't understand how bad it is. And Jesus can say, well, I've been there. I've been in the darkness. I've been in the depths. I've been in the deepest depths. The deepest darkness. I've experienced the ultimate loneliness. And when we cry out to him, he listens. He hears. He understands. But along with this, this also reminds us and assures us and teaches us of his amazing love. A love so amazing, so divine. Why did Jesus come into the world? And all of his brokenness. Why did he, on the night when he was betrayed, take bread and say, this is my body which will be broken for you, and take the wine and say, this is my blood which will be shed for you? Why did he go to the cross where he would feel forsaken by God the Father? Where he would become sin for us? Why? Well, it was for you. And it was for me. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood that will be shed for you, he says to the disciples, looking them in the eye. so that the debt might be cleared, so that our brokenness might be unbroken, so that we might not live with shame and guilt, but with the assurance of forgiveness, be a child of God. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. As we come to communion, what will we do with this Jesus who did this for you? Will we just ignore him and move on with our lives? Will we give him second best in our lives? Yes, he's important, but not as important as other things or other people. Or will we come before him seeking his forgiveness, seeking the new life that he has made possible? Will we come with thanksgiving and praise and worship at his feet, offering our lives, our souls, our all? I'm going to stand and sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."